Mics are live.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's approximately 1:30, 1:33 to be exact, on Wednesday, March 13th, 2019. This is a Public Service Commission meeting in the Public Service Commission hearing room on the 12th floor of the State Capitol here in Bismarck. The purpose of this meeting is to conduct a public hearing on proposed changes to the Commission's administrative rules. I am Commissioner Brian Crotius, Chairman of the Public Service Commission. With me today is Commissioner Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman. The rules case being heard today is case number PU-19-36. The Commission is proposing to amend North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-06-08-01 to remove prime and unique farmland and irrigated land from designation as exclusion areas and to clarify the additional exclusion areas for a wind energy conversion facility. The Commission has scheduled this public hearing to allow everyone the opportunity to submit information or comments concerning the adoption of proposed changes to the North Dakota Administrative Code. All comments received at this public hearing will be considered by the Commission together with all other written comments received. Written comments may be submitted until the close of business on March 25th, 2019. The Public Service Commission will consider all of the comments received and address the comments in its written decision. Anyone may request a copy of the decision, and it will be provided via email or regular mail. The decision and all other filings in this case will also be available on the Commission's website, which is www.psc.nd.gov/. This hearing is being broadcast over the internet and is also being electronically recorded. We ask anyone who would like to comment to take the witness stand right here at the podium and speak into the microphone so that the broadcast and recording will be of good quality. When the red light is on, right over here in front of the gentleman with the headset on, the broadcast is live, which it is right now. Everyone will be given the opportunity to speak. Please identify yourself for the record before you speak, and speak clearly, please. If you have a prepared statement, a written copy of your statement is appreciated and will be helpful. I believe the sign-up sheet has been making its way around. If not, please be sure to sign in. And before I open up the hearing for comments, I'm going to give both commissioners. Commissioner Fedorchek, do you have anything you would like to say?
I just am looking forward to public input on this rulemaking. This has been a rule that's been in existence for a long time, and I think it bears looking at these types of things and making sure that they're relevant to the current environment or whether they need to be tweaked or not. And so this is a good opportunity to talk about this rule. It's come up in some, it comes up in every siting hearing, but most recently in a more substantial way. And just look forward to, you know, seeing what kind of input we get from the public on this and other agencies and moving forward as we see best based on that input.
Okay. Commissioner Christman.
To skip the parts, the things that I was going to say that have already been said as far as just kind of how we got here, I'll just say that I too, though, am really looking forward to getting testimony as well as potentially feedback, as I can't remember exactly the timing that you said of for people to turn in comments. Like I say, this rule change kind of bothers me in a way. I grew up in the epicenter of where it was discussed heavily years ago. Although it was, I believe, more of a national movement that many states were doing things to protect the prime farmland. But I will say this, in 6 years on the commission, it doesn't seem to be of something that was really a large concern of folks. And in fact, we continually hear the message that, you know, this is privately owned land, and it's a landowner rights thing. If they want to convert it from farmland to something else, that ought to be their option. And so all these things, you know, they come in with good intention, and maybe sometimes rules serve their purpose, and there's no longer demand for them, or, you know, maybe it's the times we live in that agricultural practices have improved so much that maybe the feeling nowadays is that we can raise as much of anything we want anywhere we want, and we don't have to save the prime farmland. As an egg producer, I got to say it kind of bothers me some, but it's certainly not that saving this rule and keeping it intact has certainly not been the message that we've received in numerous cases from numerous witnesses, although not directly on point. That wasn't the discussion point, but that certainly was not what has been implied as we've gone. So I think it's important that we have the discussion and see if there still is a need for this rule. Thank you.
All right. Does anyone wish to testify on case number PU-19-36 concerning the proposed rules?
Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, I'm Bruce Johnson. I'm with the 5th Civil Engineering Squad at Minot Air Force Base. We do have a few questions and comments. Wish to clarify some things. Minot, of course, has missile facilities scattered throughout 8 counties in north central North Dakota, and we're concerned about public safety around those facilities and, of course, our airmen's safety around those facilities. We want to work with the landowners and the developers any way we can, but we do have to protect our mission and the safety of everybody. With that in mind, I would like a clarification on what you guys consider the height of a wind turbine. Is it to the center of the hub, or is it to the highest point of a blade?
Rulemaking process is generally set up to be more of a commenting on the actual promulgated rules. However, if the commission would like to answer the questions, they're certainly more than welcome to do so. Or if you would like staff to take a shot at that, we'd be happy to do so as well.
I think it's fine if Jack does.
Yeah.
I think it's more appropriate coming from staff.
Okay.
The question was whether or the approximate height of the turbine and where we measure it from.
Yes.
The turbines, I guess, and the towers and the turbines can vary in, from different heights, of course. I mean, some are smaller ones, and as their time's been going on, they've been getting larger, I think up to 400, possibly even up to 500 feet, I've heard it could get up to that height as well. Generally, what we measure it is from base to tip of the blade.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. In the rules, we have under conversion facilities, we've got a 1,200-foot radius from the center of a launch facility or a missile alert facility of 1,200 feet of basically clear space. We would like to have that defined as being free of the blade also. I'm not sure if that's what the rule intends or not.
Mr. Johnson, is there a specific section? Is it under Section 2, I'm assuming, that you're referring
section,
to?
Yeah, 6906-08-01, Item 1H.
Okay, I see.
It's not one that we're changing.
Mr. Johnson, that currently isn't the subject of the current rulemaking.
Okay.
We actually, if you'd like, I could provide you a copy real quick.
I've got a copy of that. Okay. So if we're not talking about the rules in general, just the changes,
right,
then we probably don't need me up here anymore.
But if the commission would like to entertain it, maybe we could see what the concern is. So just for the possibility of future rulemakings, we would just have note of it.
Sure.
Can I ask one just so I'm understanding? When you're talking about the 1,200-foot, you're talking about distance in terms of the tip of the blade when it's horizontal over that space potentially?
Yes.
And not where the pedestal sits?
Not where the pedestal sits. The pedestal would be back at the length of a blade. So I'll try to make it quick for the remainder of my points. Under that same section, there is, under the transmission, a line of sight. I believe the line of sight is 02, item 1G, but that is talking about transmission lines.
I didn't follow the
page
section.
Page 6 or
G.
Page 7.
06, 08, 02.
Okay.
I believe it's 1G.
Area with 30
feet.
Just
talking about a line of sight.
Oh.
But that's for the transmission lines. If we could get some similar verbiage under the conversion facility section, that would be helpful because we do have RVAs from each launch facility to each other launch facility, and the turbines in the blades themselves would interfere with those radio waves. So that line of sight corridor that's noted in 02 would be helpful if we had it in 01.
Mr. Johnson, clarification, when you said RVAs, that is the radio waves?
Yes.
Remote video.
Mr. Chairman, may I?
Absolutely.
So what you'd like, sir, is to add G on that section to the exclusion areas for energy conversion facility siting criteria.
Yes, that's correct. That's our concerns.
Right.
Jack, do you want to explain the process, how this would move forward if we were to entertain that so they kind of know?
Generally, with the process of rulemaking, we keep it narrow to the actual proposed rules and how, I mean, to some degree, whether we'll keep it close to the actual subject matter of the proposed rulemaking. However, in the future, we may do another rulemaking, possibly in the next year or 6 months or something like that. And at that point in time, we usually get together with staff, and we get together with the commission. We all discuss the various topics that may require a rule change and things that have been brought to our attention. And we'll definitely take this into consideration during that time and bring it up for discussion as well.
Very good. Okay. Thank you.
And then you'd get a notice like this, and there'd be another hearing like this for people.
Yeah. Yeah. Commissioner Christman?
Just to explain, so it doesn't seem like we're just being obstinate, like, why not just fix it? If we did this now, we didn't send out a public notice on that rule change, and so others would, you know, conceivably someone might have wanted to comment on that change, but they didn't come because they didn't think we were taking it up. So that's why we need to address it separately. But
that's understood.
Appreciate you coming today and making your concerns known.
Appreciate you hearing us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, would anyone else like to testify? Pat, do you want to? You've got something to share, correct? I should.
My name is Patrick Fahn. I'm the Director of Public Utilities with the Public Service Commission. My testimony will introduce the proposed changes to the Commission's administrative rules pertaining to energy conversion facility siting criteria, section 69-06-08-01 of the North Dakota Administrative Code, which implements North Dakota Century Code, Chapter 49-22 and Chapter 49-22.1. Section 69-06-08-01 identifies the criteria that guides and governs the Commission's site suitability evaluation process. The criteria includes exclusion areas, avoidance areas, selection criteria, and policy criteria. Exclusion areas are geographic areas that must be excluded in the consideration of a site for an energy conversion facility. The Commission is proposing to amend this section, 69-06-08-01, to delete prime farmland, unique farmland, and irrigated land from the list of areas that must be excluded from consideration of a site. The change is intended to allow discretion in the siting process regarding prime farmland, unique farmland, and irrigated land, but it does not eliminate consideration of a project's effects on agricultural production, family farms and ranches, land economically suitable for irrigation, and the agricultural quality of cropland. These are selection criteria, which are also under Section 69-06-08-01. The Commission is also proposing to amend subsection 2 of Section 69-06-08-01 to be more clear that additional exclusion areas for wind energy conversion facilities are 1 1/10 times the height of the turbine, which was explained earlier, from the nearest edge of an interstate or state roadway right-of-way, 1 1/10 times the height of the turbine from the nearest edge of a railroad right-of-way, and 1 1/10 times the height of the turbine from the nearest edge of a 115 kilovolt or higher voltage transmission line right-of-way. That concludes my testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I don't have any questions.
Nope.
It's a good day.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Would anyone else like to testify, or does anyone else wish to testify? Steve, I do have one question. Do we have the phone lines open for this as well?
We do not.
Okay, so we don't have to wait for anyone for a period of time. So what is protocol on a 22-minute time frame? Are we good, or do we need to see if anyone else walks in the door? Or?
I would wait a few minutes and see if anybody walks through the door.
I'll buy you a couple minutes.
Okay.
So I'll just make a statement, you know, and I guess you don't need to hang on to rules about something with which the vast majority of people have clearly ceased to care about. But I just feel like I want to elaborate a little on my concerns about prime farmland, because I also don't want to dismiss the other part of this rule, and for people who are monitoring this. I always thought our rule was pretty clear that regarding the distance away from transmission lines, that we would be talking about the right-of-way, but then someone didn't find it clear, and so now we're clarifying, and I can't really imagine anyone opposing that. It seemed pretty logical. But back shortly after the prime farmland rule came into effect back in the 70s, there was a letter written by our agriculture commissioner at the time. And since we're kind of, I think, delaying a little bit in order to see if somebody comes in a little bit late or something like that, I would read you five sentences from here. And I just think it's insightful of the way the thoughts have changed of people. So, and I'm skipping parts because there's things that don't have to do with what we're doing here too, but two sentences are from one section and three sentences from another section. So I'm not taking bits and pieces from all over. But so, quote, "For our people, both in the present and for the future, our best land should be used for production of food and fiber. The alternative that the land be committed to a purpose which would gain little, if any, utility from its inherent productivity seems undesirable." Then another section of the letter, "It would seem to be of questionable wisdom to continue the trend of using our most productive agricultural lands for industrial and commercial uses when other less productive alternatives are readily available. As has been noted by the United States Department of Agriculture, our prime farmlands are being permanently moved from agricultural production at the rate of 1 million acres per year. Breaking this trend would seem imperative if one considers the burgeoning world population and the resultant hunger experienced by large portions of it." I don't mean we specifically, I mean as a society, we don't seem as concerned about how we're going to one day feed billions of people in this world anymore. But like I said at the beginning, clearly everything we've heard in the last 6 years has been that people do not want this rule followed.
I think it's difficult in the sense that when you're the owner of a parcel of land and it's your own private property, really, what's the role of government? And I think it's to afford protections to those individuals, whether they've got prime farmland or whether they have farmland that isn't so good, or maybe it's marginal pasture land. I spent a lot of time as well looking back on the prime farmland rule, and at the time it was offered as a protection to landowners who were seeing transmission lines in particular shifted onto their land. And they were saying, wait a second, why are wooded lands receiving preferential treatment, and then I wind up with a transmission land on my property? And then it's moved around a lot, and then I think of things like the CRP program, which has taken prime farmland out of production completely for a period of 10 or even 15 years or when it's extended. So Commissioner Christman is exactly right. This continues to change and evolve, and it's a tough balancing act. But that's why we have public hearings like this to hear comments. And frankly, Mr. Johnson, your comments go beyond just an interesting point. Frankly, it's something with the facility you're describing, and I hadn't really thought of the blade when it's extended out and the impact it has on what you need to do and as well as our military. So I really do appreciate the comments you made. And of course, as our attorney described, we haven't noticed that particular part, but certainly taken to heart and very valuable information to have shared. So thank you very much for that. Okay, with that, one last opportunity.
And it is important to note, too, if people were to come, they still can provide input.
Yes. The other written testimony we probably should do is adjourn the meeting until 2:30 and then just briefly come back on the record and close it. And I'll hang around and see if anybody shows up.
Did we set it in time?
Yeah. 2:30.
Mm.
Just hold the meeting in recess until 2:30?
Yep. Then we'll just come on the record and close it. We'll be done.
Okay. Then we will be in recess until 2:30 p.m. We'll reconvene and see if anyone else wishes to make an appearance at that time. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Mics are live.
Okay, we are now reopening the hearing on case number PU-19-36. All of the comments provided in writing through the close of business March 25th, 2019 will be considered and discussed in our decision. Also, any changes made to the proposed rule, rules due to the commission review of comments received or the commission discussion will be explained in the written decision. The record will remain open until March 25th, 2019. And before I close, Commissioner Christman, any other questions, comments? Okay, I don't have any either as well. This hearing is now closed.